earlier than I wanted to, and it's like it happens to me regularly, and I didn't know what the time was. So I looked at my watch in the kind of gloom, and my watch said, well, I thought it said 3 minutes to 12. And I thought, oh, blow me, watch battery's gone. And I went to my tablet and opened that, and my tablet, because it's a couple of minutes on, said 5:28. I thought, oh, that's too early. So I laid down in bed, and I thought, oh, blow, my watch, as battery's gone. I can't get one tomorrow. I won't wear my watch tomorrow. And I'm thinking all this stuff about my watch battery and how I'm going to get one and what I'm going to do. And then I got up at 20 to 7 and I looked at my watch and it said 20 to 7. And I thought, my watch is all right. And because what I'd done is I had the watch upside down. 3 minutes to 12 was actually 5:28 when you put the watch up the other way. And I laughed, and I felt the Lord speak to me. And he said, that's not an accident. He said, there's some people in the gathering this morning who are looking at things in the wrong way. And that's so relevant to this song, that you've been singing, "You Raise Me Up," and you feel like you're down the plug hole. You just feel, you've got stuff that, I feel like there's some fear and some worry about some physical stuff. Perhaps you're going through tests and you're thinking all kinds of stuff, or you're thinking about some different issues in your life. And I just feel like God wants to give you his perspective this morning. You're looking at it upside down. You can trust him. You can trust him. He will raise you up. Yeah, you're not excluded from being raised up by him. And God wants to change your thinking this morning about yourself, about issues that you're facing, about problems that are ahead of you, and for you to understand that actually he's got it all under control, and you don't need to be full of anxiety and fear about the future, because God has it all under control, and he's actually there, yeah, and you can stand on his shoulders. He will raise you up. Yeah.
I was debating whether to share this or not, but after that I thought, okay, I should. As we were singing that song, "Thank You for the Cross, Lord," you reign victorious, crown him with many crowns. There's a song that has been going on in my head. I was trying to remember, I was discussing with my daughter, trying to remember the author. But as we were singing that song, "Crown him with many crowns," what came to me was the many crowns that Christ is to us. And the words of those songs just came back flooding to me. And I'll just read it. You know, we've talked about being raised from this, that. What is the crown? Jesus is my counselor, my teacher, revealer, my healer, my strengthener, repairer, refiner, restorer, my hammer, redeemer, defender, my maker. He's our instructor, our warrior, our shelter, our helper, our leader, our shepherd, our gatherer, refresher, rewarder, protector, inspirer, provider, my portion forever, my Jesus. But it says, for this, I will set my face to seek the Lord, and for us to give my full attention to his word. I will listen for his voice. So, and as we listen for his voice, he will be all this to us. I just wanted to encourage us with that. The Lord.
So I had, just as an encouragement again, while we were singing, I'm aware sometimes that the song is so good, you just sing the song, you know, you get caught up in the song. And I was thinking, I need to make this more personal. I need to make this from me to him. And then I was reminded of the story that we had last week. So the woman with the issue of blood who pushed through the crowd. And Jesus said, excuse me, he said, somebody touch me. And his disciples were like, yeah, big crowd. Of course they did. And he was like, no, someone touch me. And my encouragement to you is, in this situation that you've got, that Peter has talked about, to say to yourself, let it be me that touches him. What do I bring that touches him? Because I'm not unnoticed. In the crowd where everyone is touching him, in the worship where the music is great and it carries you along, what am I bringing that touches him? Because he will notice that. So my encouragement to you is, keep pressing in. I know that's quite a naughty phrase, let's press in, and I don't always like it, but keep pushing through, because God will know that you have touched him, and he will respond. He will, part of the song was, he will embrace you. You know, the first song was, and he will embrace you. So yeah, let that be an encouragement.
I'm feeling kind of a bit overwhelmed. I haven't been back here since I was, I'm going to say, 16. It's a long time. So I'm slightly overwhelmed because I've got a lot of memories. Oh, gosh, I'm going to get emotional. And a lot of history of my childhood and my youth. And I look around and I'm going, God, there was a lot that happened in my young age growing up here. It was a very vibrant, very bizarre, outrageous time. And I'm not going to go into all of that it was when John was getting up and sharing. So I want to say this to you, John, and Glenda. I want to say thank you to you both. Because I wouldn't be the woman I am if it wasn't for what your investment and your time, not necessarily for what you did in public, but because of who you were, of how you sacrificed your time and your resources and your energy. I was reminded of, John, when you used to organise massive events for us to go and to theme parks and goodness knows what, and the coaches would arrive outside here and there would be loads of us clamber on onto this coach at stupid o'clock in the morning. It was about 4 o'clock in the morning, we'd all pile on and he would organise it. And he made things happen. Yeah. And you still are making things happen. Yeah. Because that's what God made you to be. You're a man that makes things happen. And I feel like God wants to honour you both for your sacrifice, for your time, for your resources, for you being faithful regardless of the outcome. Because you may look and go, well, what happened? Because you've been in it when it's been the most successful, and probably when you're going, God, where are you? But yet there is God, and God is still being faithful. And I was reminded of this for just generally for the whole of us as a community, you here being as a community. I was reminded of Jeremiah 29. And I know a lot of the time we go into it and we talk about it from verse 11, where it talks about, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you hope and future. But before that, it talks about the Lord Almighty says to the children of Israel, because they're in exile, they're away from home, and he's saying, look, you can keep looking for what was, or you can keep going back to what was, but God is saying, this is where you're at. Mm. this is where you're at. So you've got to just find life here in this moment. It says there, go build houses, settle down, plant gardens, eat what they produce. Marry and have sons, daughters, find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they may too have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. So, and then it goes on to say, also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prosper, you too will prosper. And I just felt that God was saying that seek the peace and prosperity of the city, of this place. You know, we can't go back to what was. None of us can go back to the memories, and they're amazing, and all that God has done, but we can live in the moment where we are, where we find the peace and the prosperity in this place, that we can breathe the prosperity of who God is. And I just sense, John, that there's more to come. I think you have seen a little droplet of what God could open up for this place. We'll call it a city because that's what I'm reading in, and we know it's not really a city, but it's that idea of here that God wants to bring prosperity to this place. There is a history and a wealth of spiritual where God has moved and where he's invested in the young, and there's a history of that. There's the wealth of God moving in school. When I was at school here, all my close friends had an encounter with Jesus. That's what happened. It just happened. And there's no reason why it can't happen again. But it was a weird time. It was a moment. It was the most weirdest time. You didn't even have to say anything and they'd want to know about Jesus. And speaking in tongues in the CU on a Friday when we'd meet together, and you'd be like going, God is moving, and there was an intrigue about it. All my friends encountered Jesus. And I just sense that God is saying, you just keep seeking the peace and prosperity of the land, because God does and is moving. But it's a new season, it's a new generation, and it's something new. So it's then going, okay, God, we'll keep seeking and we'll keep holding on, because God will do what God will do. But I just want for you both to realize, it wasn't just me, there's a whole generation. You might not see them, you might not encounter them still, but there is a generation because of your faithfulness, because of your kindness, because of your generosity of time and energy, that God has used them, God has spoken through them, God has moved in their lives, and that God will reveal himself again to them, but to know that he is there. But in this place, that there is something of God's peace and prosperity, and there is more to come.